Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start talking Chiefs, though, because it is a Red Friday in Kansas City. The Broncos are coming to town. Time to kick the donkey's ass again out at Arrowhead on Sunday. We think we'll be heading out to Denver around 12:30 today, talking with former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson. But we keep an eye on how the Chiefs are winning. We keep an eye on these margins and how they're getting it done and what the margin might be on Sunday as well.
It doesn't matter. This is the whole thing. The league is close. Last night is a perfect example of how the league is close. There are a lot of close games. And the only big negative I continue to hear about Kansas City is, well, you know, they win the so close, and this is the lowest point margin of victory for any team that's ever started 8-0. By the way, the second lowest won the Super Bowl. So, oh no! Oh, what happens when you don't win by enough? It doesn't matter. They do not get blown out. I actually think Denver's a bit of a challenge. They are good on the offensive line. They're good on the defensive line. They protect Bo Nix better than any, statistically, they protect Bo Nix better than any quarterback in the NFL is protected. They also have one of the better pressure rates from their defense in the NFL. They're a challenge. I expect this game to be close. I expect this game to be low scoring. This is two top five scoring defenses in the league. Will I care on Monday if they win 14-10? Nope.
Ooh, sounds like a terrible
sure
game.
Yeah. Oh, it will be fun to watch. Yeah. But will I care that the Chiefs came out victorious again before they eventually take on Buffalo? No. Because in the end, the way in which they win is the least important part of what they're capable of doing. Because I would expect a team to win close who's lost, I don't know, six important players at one time or another this year. Some might still come back. Pacheco could still come back. Maybe Hollywood Brown comes back later. You know, like what? Maybe Jalen Watson in a miracle comes back later. But if that's the case, I don't care that they're playing close games. I don't see how that impacts the Chiefs negatively.
Well, a lot of it is this organization, this regime that has been together for a very long time now, and obviously have the wins and the titles,
yeah.
Pedigree, all of that to back it up. You're not as concerned like, oh, it's not sustainable. That's the difference. Pick any other team in the NFL. I don't care whether you want to say Baltimore, you want to pick the Green Bay Packers, who just any other team. When they win closely, yeah, they don't apologize. But they don't have the track record of like, oh, that they can keep doing this all year, or they can do this in the postseason, or this is going to come back to bite them. Those are conversations I think we'd be having if you were in those cities, because those quarterbacks of those teams haven't won anything yet. Their coaches, with exception, you know, pick whatever team, you know, most of the coaches in the league obviously don't have rings. There's a handful that do. And so they don't have the pedigree to understand from a fan base perspective why they should believe as much. Here in Kansas City, all they've done over the last couple years is win close football games, make the plays that they have to make. So whether that's against Denver or it's against Buffalo next week, it really doesn't matter. I think for some people, they'll lower it down like, hey, if you only beat Carolina by three. But honestly, this team, no, I don't care. When any of these other teams only beat Carolina by three, I'm more concerned because I'm like,
well, what does that say about you?
If Kansas City in 3 weeks after beating Buffalo, hopefully, and Denver, and they're undefeated, and at that time they'll be what? After a Carolina win would be 11-0 or something like that.
Yeah, well, I can't that they won by three. They're 11-0.
No, exactly.
I think that it's different, like you mentioned with the fraudulent ones. We watched that 9-0, 10-0 Pittsburgh team, and we sat on this show, you and I, and said, that team's a joke. I don't even take them seriously. That's a joke, 9-0. How could you possibly say that about the Chiefs franchise? Like, I know we're getting ready to talk about the Cincy and the Ravens game, but this is kind of like a point I'll make before we get into specifically what's going on with them. It's the excuse making from other teams that usually comes with losing. The Chiefs are trying to have people excuse make against them for winning. So, for instance, one of the things I'm sure people will say on a national program, or maybe Drew will say today about his Cincinnati Bengals is, well, it's not Joe Burrow's fault, right? They got one of the best offenses in the league, which they do. And it'd be like, he can't play defense. They got one of the worst defenses in the league, which they do. Patrick Mahomes once had the worst defense in the league. It was wretched. I cannot begin to describe to you how bad his defense was. In that year, Patrick Mahomes won his division, was the number one seed, went to the AFC title game. Like, I mean, it didn't stop him from having major accomplishments. In the season when he went 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, like Joe Burrow might this year, Patrick Mahomes won the MVP because his team was the number one seed, did successful things in the postseason, and then turned it into even more things after. Losers find ways to lose games all the time. The Chiefs are the antithesis of that. They win more games that they should lose than maybe any team in NFL history. So the one score stuff is actually just a tribute to Mahomes and Andy Reid's ability to win those games under any circumstance.
What about Denver and their quarterback? Yesterday, Drew and I spent a good chunk of the show talking about Bo Nix. And the one stat that I know you're aware of as well, and we were talking about the show ahead of time.
Deep passing?
And 20-plus yard plays. He's only behind Lamar Jackson, which was pretty stunning. And that was before last night, obviously.
Lamar's probably stone first.
Yeah. Probably has increased the lead a little bit. But his performance, I was pretty low on him coming out of college, and I think he's been fine. Like, I think he hasn't been bad or anything like that. He's been fine, and I think he's perfect for Sean Payton's system and what he wants to do. It does remind you a lot of Drew Brees in terms of they're going to get him out on bootlegs, they're going to do play action, and he will make some great plays. I was on in Denver last night on a couple stations, and we were talking about they're asking our opinion of Bo Nix, but then they were discussing him. They're like, it's the inconsistency. Sounds like a rookie, doesn't it? Like, he's just not consistent enough. And that's the thing. To beat Kansas City, you can't be inconsistent at the quarterback spot. And that's why, like, I think a lot of people, there's some people that are nervous about Sunday for a variety of reasons. Like, I think there could be a drive where Bo Nix looks great. And then he might have the three straight drives where he's terrible and missing open guys and all that. So Bo Nix, I mean, the Chiefs have played Joe Burrow already, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert. Like, Bo Nix,
pretty far down the list of good
quarterbacks. I don't know if he's dead last. I'm trying to think every single team they've played. But he's pretty low on the pecking order there of QBs. He might actually be the bottom. Who am I missing?
He might be dead last.
Because Kirk, and I just mentioned Burrow. And
all right, so here,
Lamar.
Let's go. No, what about Derek Carr? Where do you have him?
Okay.
Derek Carr
was healthy.
Derek Carr's got
he was healthy at that point. Derek Carr's
career.
Just better. He's still better than Bo Nix. Come on now.
So Lamar, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Brock Purdy, the one that Bo Nix has beat is Gardner Minshew.
Okay, that's the one I'll give
him.
He's
got Gardner Minshew beat because he doesn't have Baker beat.
But Gardner Minshew, because he's a vet, still is, there's something to be said there.
He can take advantage.
But that'll be otherwise Bo Nix will be still the worst quarterback they face.
Look, Bo Nix is fine. Like, I'm not terrified of him. That long gain stat, I think, is directly attributed to the thing I just said. It is attributed to their offensive line. The reason why he is able to make deep attempts and complete more of those passes is because he has protection. I don't think Steve Spagnuolo is going to let him feel comfortable back there. I believe, because Bo Nix is a rookie and has never seen a Spags-led defense in his life, is going to get blitzed, and a lot, it'd be my guess, in order to make that offensive line, who's done an incredible job, less comfortable. And that probably leads to mistakes. So, yeah, I mean, Denver is not, they're not a pushover. They've got a, good coach. He's fine. Like, he's not, like, I don't think he's a top five coach in my mind. He's a good coach. He's not a laughingstock, none of those things. And they are good on the offensive and defensive line. Any team that has that will be no worse than 500 in a calendar year, right? They'll be 8-9, 9-8 at worst. They'll fight. They'll be annoying. That's what we described him as this year. They're kind of a pain in the ass. That's all I expect for Sunday. Not a loss.
Don't you think
they're a pain in the ass a little?
Much like the Raiders game earlier this year, how we discussed that, like, because the Raiders got them last year on Christmas Day, and in this case, because the Broncos in their building, not at Arrowhead, they still have the long losing streak at Arrowhead, but in their building, because they beat the Chiefs, I don't think you have to worry about the team being ready for this game. This was a Broncos team that embarrassed them in their last year in Denver.
Yes.
So I think there's something to be said for that, too. It's why I was less worried about the Raiders this year because of what they did on Christmas Day, and why I'm less worried about the Broncos, because I think it's easy when you have a long dominant streak over somebody to like, okay, we just beat these guys all the time. At Arrowhead, they do. That streak is still intact. But the Broncos embarrassed the Chiefs. That was an embarrassing loss last year. I know different quarterback. That was Russ. It wasn't Bo Nix. Still the same head coach and most of the same roster.
Yeah, they've gotten... And I think now you get the motivation of we don't want to ever lose. Like, the bad game motivation is equally contributing to the, wait, no, we don't want to lose a game.
Yeah,
we're not planning on losing a game.
Perfect.
I think it'd be easier to lose this game if you were 7-1, weirdly enough. I know that sounds probably kind of silly or stupid.
I get your point, though.
If you're 7-1, I think you're more likely to lose this game than if you're 8-0 and you're taking every damn opponent serious because you want to win every game you want to win and all those things.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.